Today we enter into a new church year, a new liturgical year. For the next 12 months, we will hear mostly from Matthew. You will sense a change in the liturgy, in the space, in the message at Advent. For Advent is a time of waiting for Christ. In Advent, we focus on promises and hopes yet to be fulfilled through Christ's future coming, or the second Advent. Advent not only marks the beginning of a new church year, but is also a call to look at how God is working to bring transformation to the world. We have just heard Isaiah's anticipation of a new age. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways. For out of Zion shall go forth the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. For many of us in the church, this Sunday might smack you right between the eyes. For we have seen it all around us. We have Christmas on our minds. We can blame it on retailers, television, advertisements, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, the holiday music. But nonetheless, many of us come here today with Christmas on our minds. Christmas trees have been put up, garland is hanging, and those favorite Christmas carols take hold of us. And so today we find our Advent gospel reading at odds with normal secular world expectations. Thanks to our lectionary, we are reminded once again that we are called to live counterculturally. When others are celebrating the Christ child already here, as evidenced by those lighted baby Jesuses on lawns and Christmas carols filling the sanctuaries of many churches, we hear from Matthew about an apocalyptic day in the unknown future, when Jesus suddenly returns and lives are suddenly and surprisingly changed. If the one extreme in the church is excitement to the point of predicting dates for Jesus' second coming, the opposite extreme is apathy and pessimism. We're just fooling ourselves. He's never coming again. This is not just a modern thought. In fact, New Testament people had begun to feel this way. After the first excitement and expectation had died away, people started to say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Many people feel today the same way. We've been waiting for 2,000 years. Surely it's time to stop deluding ourselves. And so some biblical scholars even reject the idea of the return of Jesus and say things like, "Well, he does return to us when we welcome him into our lives, or when the Holy Spirit comes to us." And many, many more Christians who believe in the return of Christ in theory don't actually let it affect the way they live their own lives. They go about building their personal empires with no thought for the fact that the day is going to come when it will all end. They're like kids building sandcastles on the beach when the tide is coming in. Now, there is a way as Christians to live in between these two extremes of date setting and apathy. That way is all about faithful waiting. Yes, we continue to wait for Jesus to return, putting our hopes in his promises. But we don't let that keep us from doing what he has called us to do. While we're waiting, we can be faithful as well. And there is a story from our sisters and brothers in the Jewish tradition that illustrates this extremely well. At a well-known university, there was a piano teacher that was simply and affectionately known as Herman. One night at a university concert, a distinguished piano player suddenly became ill while performing an extremely difficult piece. And no sooner had the artist retired from the stage when Herman rose from his seat in the audience, walked on stage, sat down at the piano, and with great mastery completed the performance. And later that evening, at a party, one of the students asked Herman how he was able to perform such a demanding piece so beautifully without notice and with no rehearsal. And he replied, "In 1939, when I was a budding young concert pianist, I was arrested and placed in a concentration camp. Putting it mildly, the future looked bleak, but I knew in order to keep that flicker of hope alive, that I might someday play again, I needed to practice every day. And I began by fingering a piece from my repertoire on my bare board bed late one night. And the next night I added a second piece, and soon I was running through my entire repertoire. I did this every night for 5 years. It so happens that the piece I played tonight at the concert hall was part of that repertoire. That constant practice is what kept my hope alive. Every day I renewed my hope that I would one day be able to play my music again on a real piano and in freedom." We are called to live in hope and expectation of the second coming of our Lord. We are not called to live secularly in a secular world. We are called to be rays of hope, light for others, to be countercultural, and to live according to the example that Jesus has given to us through the way he lived his life. Each one of us is called to live full lives, so that when the thief comes in the night, we will be prepared and ready. Are we? Am I? Are you ready to live the full lives that Matthew and Jesus write about in today's gospel? I'd like to conclude with a story from Anne Wells, who relates a story from her life to the well-known Reverend Leonard Sweet. She recalled the following. "My brother-in-law opened the bottom drawer of my sister's bureau and lifted out a tissue-wrapped package. He flung it and said, 'This,' he said, 'is not a slip. This is lingerie.' And he discarded the tissue and handed me the slip. It was exquisite silk, handmade and trimmed with a cobweb of lace. And the price tag with an astronomical figure on it was still attached. And he said, 'Jan bought this the first time we went to New York, at least 8 or 9 years ago. She never wore it. She was saving it for a special occasion. Well, I guess this is the occasion.' And he took the slip from me and put it on the bed with the other clothes we were taking to the funeral home. And his hands lingered on that soft material for a moment. And then he slammed the drawer shut and turned to me and said, 'Don't ever save anything for a special occasion. Every day you're alive is a special occasion.' And for us, every day that we are alive is an occasion to be transformed, to get ready, to live in hope and joy and expectation that our Lord is coming and that we will be ready so that we will be blessed forever by the Blessed One."